Another Friday of football. Big games in Acadiana on the high school front. A huge game in Statesboro, Georgia, as the Ragin' Cajuns open up Sunbelt Conference play. Can they make it four straight W's? And Sunday night, prime time, the Saints and the Cowboys. Larry Holder tells us all about the Saints. David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, all about the Cowboys. And the Tripod is back to give you Monday's headlines today, Friday, September 27th, 2019.
Wentz under center, two receivers to the right. They have pounded the football in this second half. On the ground, give it to Howard. Up the middle, second effort, hammers it in. Touchdown, Eagles. Shotgun for Rodgers. Two receivers right. Rodgers looks that way, throws, popped up in the air, intercepted. Nigel Bradham's got it off the ricochet, and Bradham is brought down at the 21. The Philadelphia Eagles come up with a huge turnover, and the Packers are denied.
You know, we had a couple opportunities there, I think, to score. We just didn't quite execute. But, it hurts. Obviously, the way they were stopping the run. We felt good about those four calls, and I like the calls, and I feel like we were close to on a couple of those to really score and tying it up.
But you didn't do it, Aaron Rodgers, and the Philadelphia Eagles go into Lambeau Field and get a W last night to kick off week four of the NFL. It's another weekend of football. Welcome. This is the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Yours truly, Studio 1A, my main man, CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Ruth Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which is KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game. We've got you covered from coast to coast, but as always, the most important factor is, what's the weather going to be like? So meteorologist Chris Cozart, KLFY, joins us as he does each and every Friday to kick things off. Chris, thanks for the time. So it's a Friday night, a lot of people going to ball games, some really good ball games throughout Acadiana and the state. What can they expect from up above in the skies?
Everything that we've seen this week continues, just some quiet conditions this evening. Now, it's a little bit more humid. You know, last couple mornings, last couple evenings have been pretty comfortable. I think the humidity will be a little bit more noticeable for those kids out there in those high school games, but rain chances are a measly 10%, so I think we're good to go for those games tonight.
Good, and I like those mandatory water breaks. I think that's great for the kids. It's terrific. All right, Saturday, it's 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, kickoff in Statesboro, Georgia. Billy Napier's crew trying to get four in a row as they take on Georgia Southern. I would imagine it might be a little cooler, a little further north, or am I wrong there?
You're kind of wrong on that one, because misery loves company right now. The heat wave that we're dealing with here in Acadiana, they're dealing with on the East Coast as well. They're going to see highs there in Statesboro around 93 to 95 that day. So by the evening hours, they're cooling off a little bit, but it will still be a pretty warm and humid day for them during that evening on Saturday night, even over towards Georgia.
Nothing football related right now, but how are the tropics looking these days?
Everything's actually settled down a little bit. You know, we only have two named storms now. We have Tropical Depression Karen. We were watching her pretty closely. You know, she's kind of meandering around the southwestern Atlantic, right near the Bahamas, but it's weakening. It's in a bad spot, so it's not really doing anything there. And then Lorenzo, well out to sea, is a major hurricane. It's a monster out there, but again, fortunately, it will stay out to sea. Everything else, there's no other areas to watch. Everything's kind of settling down for now. We hope that's the case. You know, there's a secondary peak in hurricane season about mid-October, yes. But in the next couple weeks, I think we're still good here, at least across the Gulf Coast for now.
Chris Kozart says it's going to be okay hot, but you're going to be okay. You're not going to get wet. Chris Kozart, KLFY, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
All right, that's Chris Kozart. We'll hear from his sidekick. The other end of the desk, George Faust, will be joining us here shortly as we talk about the big games. Well, there's a big one, St. Thomas More Neville. That's a good one. And, of course, the Raging Cajuns. Backed by popular demand, it was so well received. People said, man, we want to hear it again, or my friend missed it, and we want to hear it again. So we'll play back for you our chat with Jimmy Burrow, the record-setting quarterback's father, Joe Burrow's dad. It's a bye week, and so that's how we'll cover LSU this week. Hour number two, Larry Holder of The Athletic will join us, previewing the Saints versus the Cowboys. And, boy, big matchup. Sunday night, primetime on NBC. David Hellman, his counterpart for the Cowboys, will join us. After that, and then George Becknell will join CD and I, and we'll try and give you our headlines on Monday today, what we think is going to happen. It's not the greatest week out there, but we'll see for college football games. But they're going to get better, I promise you. The figure has been disputed, but according to reports, Saints Cowboys ticket forecast says Dallas fans could make up half of the crowd. Are you kidding me? Who that nation's? I got to see that to believe it. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think Saints fans, no matter how much money you offer them, are going to give up their seats for this one. But Cowboys fans do travel. There is no question about that. But we'll have to see. Figures being disputed, but the Superdome could have some silver and black in there. So Vivid Seats has forecasted projections that says the game could land close to 50-50 Saints fans, Cowboy fans. No. I'm not going to go down that road. I just do not believe it. Basketball practice underway today for LSU. They'll hit the hardwood in about 50 minutes as Will Wade and company try to continue off the success that they had a year ago. They're not going to be as tall, but I think they'll be long. I think they'll be athletic. I think their backcourt will be really, really good. I think they will have a motion offense that will be geared toward utilization of their skill sets. I think they'll be a better shooting team than they were a year ago. The question is, can they be as good defensively? Can they challenge at the rim? Can they rebound? Can they alter shots? And who's going to be the go-to guy down the stretch? It was always Tremont Waters. You knew it. I knew it. Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, everybody they played knew it. Sometimes knowing it and stopping it are completely different stories. Waters was really, really good. So who's going to be the go-to guy down the stretch? So plenty of basketball talk coming in the days and weeks to come. The Pelicans open up training camp next week. They'll have their media day on Monday. So we'll get to basketball. But right now it's a football Friday. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. George Faust coming up next. We'll talk high school football. We'll talk the Raging Cajuns. We'll have Jimmy Burrow talking about Joe and the Tigers. Holder, Hellman, Cowboys and Saints. Becknell, CD, and me giving you headlines. That's our Football Friday. Sit back, relax. We're getting rolling after these important messages and this timeout. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back. And better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, it's another Football Friday night in Acadiana, and the Raging Cajuns on the road taking on Georgia Southern in Statesboro, Georgia. So it's time for our weekly chat with George Faust, the sports director for KLFY. He'll have his crew out and about. George, happy Friday to you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Same to you, my friend.
Thank you. On the high school front, I mean, it's only week four, but this seems like a state championship game. St. Thomas More and Neville, wow.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a battle on the gridiron tonight. Obviously, the challenge is going to be for Neville's defense. I have a couple of friends that work up in North Louisiana where Neville is located, and they tell me, you know, they're coming off a big win over, I think it's U-High or anyway, their last win was really a telling win for the Neville Tigers. And so they're going to try and ride that momentum into this weekend. And they're going to need all the help they can get because that STM offense is one of the most potent high school offenses probably in the country, definitely in the state of Louisiana for sure. So it's one of those things where Caleb Holstein's going to be one of the quarterback that's you know, he's going to be slinging the ball all over the field. And they're going to put up some points. So what defense can come up with a big stop is kind of going to be the key in that game.
Really good matchup. St. Thomas More, Neville. Notre Dame, the Pios against Terlings. That's another great rivalry.
Able to get the better of Terlings the past 2 years, but Terlings comes into this contest 3-0. So that's a team that you might want to take a look at. Maybe a little bit of a surprise that the Rebels and Coach Dane Chaponche are at that point. This is a contest that I'm sure Terlings has circled on the calendar. The Pios continue to use a two-quarterback system, though. Parker Seon is going to be probably the guy who's going to start this game. Ben Broussard, who guided them to the state championship a year ago, his role has kind of changed just because of the fact that he hurt his hand, he fractured his hand, and he's ready to go. He can play, but Coach Cook says, you know, we'll use them both when we need to, and that could spell a little bit of trouble for Terlings because they're two different styles of quarterback. Parker Seon is 6'3", 6'4", and a gunslinger, and Ben Broussard is kind of a shifty, shorter, kind of like a Randall Cunningham type of quarterback, where he can throw the ball, but he can also move pretty good too.
George Faust, KLFY. All right, let's sift to the college game. I got to admit, I was dead wrong a week ago with the Raging Cajuns heading up to Ohio University. They took care of business. Now it's the Sun Belt Conference opener. I got a stat for you. The Cajuns' rushing attack is leading the nation in total rushing yards with 1,295 yards total with 18 touchdowns. Georgia Southern has won 11 of its last 12 games when they win the ground battle. But when they lose, when they're outrushed, they've lost their last 18 times. So you don't have to be a brain surgeon on this one. If the Cajuns do what they do best, they win.
Yeah, look. The Raging Cajuns offense, especially the rushing attack, it has been the high point of the year thus far. And you look at the games that they've won, they're putting it on the ground. They're running behind that offensive line, and they're getting some quality yards. And look, when we headed into the season, we were all pointed towards it. We knew that they had three superstars at running back, Eli Mitchell, you got Trey Regis, and you got Raymond Calais. All three of those guys are top-tier running backs, and we've said it time and time again, if any one of those guys was on another team, they'd be the feature back with regards to a running game and a running attack. And Coach Napier is just lucky enough to have those guys all in one. And he said it earlier this week, maybe the greatest thing for them is that they have all three of those because you can use Eli. And then, you know, he reels off a 50-yard run, and then he can get a little break. You put Trey in, and he'll finish it off. or you put Raymond in, and he'll finish it off. Or they're able to spell each other when they need a breath, and that's just the top three. Then you have the other two guys that have proven that they can run the rock as well, and so their backfield, that room, that part of the Cajun offense is very impressive. And so I like the Cajuns on the road again. They're going to have to do something to make me get off the bandwagon, so to speak, because their rushing attack is on point. And I don't know if Georgia Southern's ready for that. I'm sure they know about it, but can you stop it? Knowing it and stopping it, right, two different things.
Very good point. This might be one of the quicker games of the weekend. I mean, the Raging Cajuns love to run it. And through three games now, Georgia Southern is 13 of 29 total. 29 passes total for the season. That's telling me they're throwing it nine times a game. So they're going to run it. And apparently Billy Napier thinks that Shea Wirtz is going to be back in the lineup. He got hurt in the LSU game, and redshirt freshman Justin Tomlin's filled in, but he doesn't throw it a lick. So you got to win the line of scrimmage in a game like this. Triple option, you got to win the line of scrimmage. You got to get ahead of them. Got to make them play from behind and try and throw the ball. If you can do that, man, I'm with you on the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how they're playing, and that's going to be key. You're right. The defense is going to have to be aware of where the ball is and play their gaps, so to speak, with regards to making sure that they don't get suckered into a wrong spot, and they can kind of exploit that if the Cajun defense isn't in the right place. But that'll probably end up being the key of the game, obviously, is how that D line can maneuver against Georgia Southern's offense.
I'm with you. George Faust, KLFY. LSU has a chance to rest Joe Burrow's arm a little bit, and so we'll skip by them. But, boy, Sunday night, the Saints are going to be wearing their white color rush unis, which are clean and neat, and the big bad Cowboys coming to town. It appears that the Cowboys are buying all the tickets up on this thing, and they predict half the crowd to be Dallas fans. We can't have that.
Wow. No, we can't have that. I'm going to be there Sunday night. I'm covering that game, so we'll that's going to be exciting. I didn't know they were doing that, but apparently, you know, money talks, whether it's blue money or black and gold money. that's going to be a fun game. Look,
always.
Here's an interesting question, though, Jordy. If you were as a Saints person, just in general, if you're a Saints fan, you look back and you have Ezekiel Elliott and you have Alvin Kamara. Which guy are you? I mean, obviously we like Kamara because he's a Saints guy, but which one is playing better? Which one would you rather have when it comes down to the long haul? They're both unbelievably talented, and I for the Saints, I think Kamara's a perfect fit to what Sean Payton and how Sean Payton runs his offense. But I think about that. I mean, they're both very similar. I think just from an athletic standpoint, you take Kamara, and I think he does a little bit better coming out of the backfield, catching balls out the backfield. So for me, the answer to that question was easy. Somebody posed that question to me the other day, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And but I think Kamara fits the system for New Orleans a lot better than if Zeke was playing in the black and gold uniform. But that's just kind of something that was on my mind.
Simple answer. Simple answer on this one. They're both talented. I take Kamara because not only do I weigh the talent, but I weigh the character issues. And he's squeaky clean. He's a great teammate. No off-the-field issues, no headaches, no drama. And I just think his big play ability speaks for itself. So I'm with you. I'm taking Alvin Kamara every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But Dallas was one of those teams that really roughed up the Saints a year ago. They just controlled them. They bully-balled them. And the Saints only scored 10, and Dallas won it 13-10. So I expect another physical game. But this one's in the dome, and I always like the Saints at home, particularly at night.
Yeah, Yeah, I do too. It's in prime time, you're right. That's when Sean Payton seems to perk up and get things rolling for the Saints. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I like the Saints to kind of issue a little payback. That'd be great. I mean, Dallas is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong; they're playing great. They're playing some great football. But I just think the Saints have kind of figured out their quarterback situation with regards to everybody's kind of calmed down. And Teddy's like, we were, what, 5-10 minutes into the Saints conversation and didn't mention Teddy at all. So I think Saints fans feel a little more comfortable with how he's able to play the game if he has a whole week to prepare. And so so I think that kind of eases people's minds, okay, with regards to the Saints taking on the Cowboys. And, hey, get the ball to Kamara. I mean, look at that. In the Seattle game,
yeah,
he caught the ball at the backfield. They couldn't tackle him. He was so elusive that they
right.
I think there's a situation to look forward to there on Sunday night.
All right. He is George Faust. He is KLFY. They'll have all the high school football coverage on Friday. They'll have all the college coverage of the Raging Cajuns on Saturday and the Saints on Sunday. And we get to talk to George again next Friday. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Jordy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. There you go. George Faust, KLFY. Back by popular demand. Can't tell you how many texts and emails I got. So we are, since LSU is off, we're going to play back for you in case you missed it. And if you didn't, you want to listen again, our interview with Jimmy Burrow, Joe Burrow's dad, next here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, it's been a great season so far. Four up, four down, and a record-setting offense led by just a true general on the field in Joe Burrow. And the numbers have been staggering. And we are thrilled to bring in somebody that knows him better than anybody, and that's his dad, the former defensive coordinator for Ohio University and now retired, so he can, and I think this is great, so he can see his son play his final year of college football. Can I call you Jimmy Burrow? You'll always be a coach in my book, but Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us, and thank you for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, and you can call me anything you want to.
I'm calling you Glad. Take me back, because you know, your son wanted a change of venue, and he went out there to look to see where a good place for him to go to pursue his college career after things didn't go the way he expected them to go at Ohio State. Did you ever anticipate, first off, how did LSU convince you, with all the negative recruiting about how, man, they're just going to run the ball, how did they convince you guys to send your son to Baton Rouge?
Well, I think Coach Ogeron had a lot to do with it. You know, when Joe decided to leave Ohio State, which was not an easy decision in itself, he basically wanted to eventually to go to a place that had a chance to win the national championship. And the more we investigated LSU, you know, they didn't have a quarterback coming back. And then so that was the first point of interest for Joe. And then once we got there and you know, mm-hmm. we told them we were looking for what they were going to do offensively. Joe had already graduated. Academics wasn't a concern at the time. He wants to get a master's, and he'll have one at the end of this semester, but you know, that wasn't a determining factor. And so they convinced us that they were going to move in the direction of spread and throwing the ball more downfield. They had some film of every play Joe had at Ohio State, and they actually had some of those plays and that they had done in the spring ball. So it kind of all added up to being able to play at the in a league at the highest level and convinced that that they were going to move forward with a new offense. And then third, just, you know, the trust and the belief in Coach Ogeron had a lot to do with it.
Awesome. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Did you ever envision what you have witnessed in 4 weeks this year?
No, I mean, again, that's always the goal is to win a lot of games and have great success, you know, as the quarterback of a national championship contender. And really, I think if you ask Joel, that was always something that he thought was possible. You know, as a dad, we're always a little more cautious of your son's dream, but that's what he's dreamed about. That's why he went to Ohio State.
Right.
And then when he decided to leave again, that's why he chose LSU, to have that opportunity. So he probably would tell you that it's not surprising to him, but as a parent, you know, it is somewhat surprising. But we saw him do the same thing in high school, just at an entirely different level. But he looks now a lot like he did in high school, and a lot of people that have seen both would tell you the same thing.
That's awesome. There's a lot of UL Raging Cajun fans that want to give you some kudos and say a lot of thank yous because they went up to Athens, Ohio, and they took care of the Bobcats, and I finally figured out why. That's because all of Ohio was down in Nashville to watch your son play. And so all the fans left to come watch LSU play. So they wanted to thank you. What a turnout. That's got to be an awesome feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I felt a little bad about because I still love the Bobcats, and you know, my best friends are there still on the coaching staff, and Coach Solit. So, you know, we probably had about 300, yeah. And so I did feel great that they were able to do that, but I did feel a little bad that, you know, that they weren't there to support Ohio University. But it started out Friday with a local young lady that performed down there at the row, and Athens people packed that, and then they packed my tailgate before and after the game, and they all had their you know, Go Joe shirts on and LSU number 9, and it was a special day for my family and for our friends, and then LSU to perform like they did was kind of icing on the cake.
Take me back. You've had a football life. You played the game at a high level. You've coached at a high level. Was Joe one of those football junkies way back? I mean, did he hold on to Dad's leg when Dad was going to practice? Was he always around football?
He was always around it, but he was a very good baseball player and very good basketball player. He was a first team All State in basketball, and initially, you know, he was on the travel teams in baseball and basketball, and basketball seemed to be probably his ticket at as he was growing up to maybe get a scholarship playing basketball. But he was always around our family. He's got two older brothers that, you know, that played at Nebraska, and so it was just a natural thing for him to be an athlete. But he wasn't ever one to really want to go to practice with me. He tended to do other things, but a lot of that had to do with playing other sports and being busy himself. You know, I'd say he didn't have a whole lot of choice about at least giving it all a try because of our family. And we were fortunate that, you know, that he did take a liking to it and wanted to be the very best, even when he started playing football in the third grade. And I guess that's when he really started playing basketball and baseball. He played a little soccer, was just probably his first competitive sport, but he always loved competing, and I think again that just comes from our family sports oriented so much.
Yeah, I've always told people, let your kids play all the sports they want. Don't specialize in something early. They'll get burned out, so play them all. And your son is a true testament to that, and I highly recommend that for all kids.
Yeah, we were all for it. Some people thought that his best sport was actually baseball. He could hit. He was a home run hitter, and you know, he's good wherever he played in the outfield or third base or first base. But when we started to travel basketball teams, sort of an AAU circuit, it was just tough to continue to do both. And so that's when he chose, I think, around the eighth grade to quit playing baseball. But as a college coach, I loved it when guys played multiple sports. I especially liked that they played basketball because you could see their athleticism, you know, when you were watching them, and I thought it helped in their overall development.
Yes. I'm with you. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Tigers have an off week this weekend. I want you to put your defensive coordinator hat on now. You've watched LSU for 4 weeks. I guess the question is, how much film study do you need to try and figure out what this team is doing? What do you think of this offense?
Well, you know, offensively, you know, we're going to be tough to handle with our matchups and things like that. You know, all those receivers are capable of having big games, and offensive line has done such a great job of keeping pressure off of Joe. The running backs are doing a good job, and tight ends, and it's just a total, you know, team effort as far as what we got on offense. What's amazing to me as a coach is, you know, Coach Enswinger and Coach Brady, their ability to work together and mix and match ideas. But
yes,
you know, there's other offensive coaches on that staff too. They've done a great job. The receivers catching the ball, and that O-line is physical and protecting, and they do a good job on blitzes. And so it's really been fun to watch. That's not easy what they're doing, and it's not easy to jump into it the first game, second game, you know, through the fourth game, and be as efficient as they have been.
Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Is it, I mean, look, I've played at LSU basketball. I coached basketball at LSU as an assistant to Dale Brown. And I've gone in, like you, and I've watched my children play. Man, that's the hardest thing in the world. How have you handled sitting in the stands watching Joe play?
Well, I thought once I retired from coaching and not being in the press box would eliminate a lot of the nerves and those type things, but it's the same. You know, you want LSU to win. You want Joe to have a great game, and it's nervous.
Oh, I think we just lost Jimmy Burrow. Clint, if you can try and get him back. I've got to ask Jimmy a couple more questions about his son. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us as his son is setting record after record after record. 81% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns. He's already surpassed his touchdown total of a year ago when he had 16. Only two interceptions, averaging 12.3 yards per pass. Kind of remarkable what Joe Burrow has done. And again, he is in one of the finalists for the Heisman Trophy if they would give it away today, and he has become a first-round draft pick in the minds and eyes of many a player. I mean, if Daniel Jones can do what he's doing, right? I just got a bone to pick with you, Coach. He's only completing 81% of his passes. What's wrong with the kid? Can we get better?
Well, I know at the end of that game that he wasn't going to be satisfied with the percentage that he had in Vanderbilt, and I was right. He thought that he should have been able to complete a few more balls, but they're teaching him where to throw it. He has a good understanding of the offense, as I said. The receivers are all a big part of recognizing coverages and blitzes. One of my favorite plays of that game is when he pointed the blitz coming to Jamar at the slot and literally pointed out there to him. And Jamar mm-hmm. knows, hey, if I beat this guy, there's not many people back here. And he ran a slant and Joe hit him. And I think he went 65, 70 yards for a touchdown. But so that's just a combination of a lot of different people, recognizing what's coming at them and executing the offense at a very high level. It's a long way to go for these guys, and they're going to start playing some really, really great defenses, and people are going to start really throwing a lot of different things at them, would be my opinion here, as they especially continue to get into the SEC play.
I'm absolutely in agreement with you. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Your son, I've had the privilege of talking to him and getting to know him a little bit. He's very calm, cool, collected. He's very guarded in what he says. But every now and then you see some of that competitive stuff come out. What did he say to you about going over to the Vanderbilt bench and talking to those guys like that? You've got to be careful.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get into what he did say. I'll stick with what he said. He said in the press conference, and we'll go with that. But there's a thin line.
Okay.
There's a thin line from going too far. There's a thin line between disrespecting your opponent, and I think Joe has crossed that line. But you certainly have to be careful. Those guys, the head coach was a friend of mine. The offensive coordinator was a friend of mine. The director of football operations is a friend of mine. I coached with all three of those guys. So I would prefer probably that he doesn't do things like that, but you don't want to put a stop into, his emotion. And I think his guys feed off of that. They have his back in that, just like Joe would have their back if they got into a little scuffle. But I don't think you want him going out there and doing those type things every snap. But as you said, I think he is guarded out there, and sometimes he just feels the need to pop up some guys, I think.
I love his attitude. I love his toughness. I love all of that about him. And look, LSU scored more points in their first four games than any team in the history of the Southeastern Conference. I mean, in the history. And I can remember some of those spurrier teams with Danny Werfel and some other ones, and the fact that LSU has done what they've done, it's been quite remarkable. And, I just wish your son continued good health. I hope he's taking that offensive line out to eat and making sure that they're happy and they're taking good care of them. And, This might be an expensive year for you. I hope you got enough saved in the old retirement kitty.
Well, I'm not used to spending that kind of money on games. Everything's free for a coach, travel and hotel and food. And my wife told me before we ever started, she just said, hey, look, you can't worry about what we're spending here. This is a choice that we made as a family, and we're going to enjoy it and have fun and support Joe and LSU, and it's been awesome. The support that we've gotten from the LSU fans. When we're at tailgates and when we're in the stands. I mean, it couldn't have worked out better for us than it has so far.
Just one tip that I'm going to give you, okay? You've got a Heisman Trophy candidate. I know, it is what it is. They find you in the stands now, so you got to be careful, okay? Because the camera is on you, big guy, so just be careful.
Well, One time in the Texas game, I did the horns down, and everybody in the country seemed to see it. I was at a restaurant that following week, and about 10 of my players from Ohio came in, and right when they walked in the door and they saw me, they started doing the horns down, and my all-conference safety came over, and he said, "Coach, do you know how mad you would have been if I'd have done something like that?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I won't do it again." But they, everybody got a kick out of it. It's just, again, being a fan, being a parent, and getting caught up in the emotion. It was fun.
I love every second of it. Man, you go and live it to the fullest, enjoy it, and if they can't take the horns down, shame on them. But I can't thank you enough for your time, and you and your wife have done a wonderful job raising a fine young man. So my congratulations to you, and it's got to be a dream come true to be able to see your son living his dream come true. It's got to be enjoy every minute of it, Coach.
Yeah. I grew up down in Mississippi in the SEC, so it is big and special for our family. My dad played basketball at Mississippi State, and so I've always known about LSU, and just to be a part of it for our family is a great experience for us.
Well, we got to get you back on again one of these days, but thanks for the time, and take the weekend off. Save some money, okay?
I'm going to Nebraska game, so Nebraska, Ohio State. So I'm just going to a different venue. I'm excited.
There you go.
About it.
All right, you can't keep a good man down. Jimmy Burrow, Joe Burrow's dad, kind enough to join us here. What a guy! It's got to be fun, huh? Got to be fun. All right, we'll be back to wrap up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7TheGame.com. All right, we're back, wrapping up hour number one. Don't forget that the Opelousas Rotary Club auction returns on October 1st, 6 to 10 p.m. live on KDCG television. Hundreds of items will be available to bid on, everything from furniture, sports memorabilia, household items, hair care, vacation packages. I want to see what those are. Gift certificates, home decor, and more. So make sure to call in October 1st, get a head start, save on those Christmas presents. Most gift certificates will sell for 50 to 80% off. And remember, all of the proceeds go to charitable causes. That's the Opelousas Rotary Club Auction, October 1st, KDCG. Oh, Houston Astro fans, you're going to want this. 103.7 The Game wants to send you and a friend to cheer on the Astros as they open up the Major League Baseball postseason at Minute Maid Park with the American League Division Series. You can win a pair of tickets to games 1 and 2 of the ALDS on Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th, along with a one-night hotel stay. Are you kidding me? Just text Take It Back, TAKEITBACK, Take It Back to 68683 for your chance to watch your Houston Astros Take It Back. This Houston Astros playoff giveaway is brought to you by Cordell D'Artes, State Farm Insurance Agent, and 103.7 The Game. Now, come on. Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs. Let's get it going. What a great giveaway from the station that just keeps on giving and giving. Hour number one's in the books. Saints Cowboys talk. Headlines for Monday on a Friday. All coming your way. Hour number two. The Jordy Helfrich Show here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7TheGame.com. We'll be right back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7TheGame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Hour number two, and away we go on this Football Friday. It's September 27th, the year 2019, and we're really looking forward to Sunday night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome as the undefeated Dallas Cowboys come into town to take on the New Orleans Saints. Primetime NBC Sunday night. Larry Holder of The Athletic will be there, and he joins us each and every Friday to discuss the Saints and whatever else we want to, whatever other road we want to go down. Larry, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm good, Jordy. It's almost like I want to give myself like a mini bye week since the Saints are really the only major big boy in town, and that's a Sunday night. So, look, I'm at least going to try to be as relaxed as I can because in the fall you don't get too many just one game weekends. It's usually like five or six, and it's chaos.
Yeah, guy, relaxing, Jordy. You've earned the right. But, boy, I think Sunday night's going to be a we'll probably find out what direction both of these teams are heading after this ball game. Is Dallas legit? They haven't really played anybody, but they sure have played very well to date. Your thoughts on the Cowboys after three?
Yeah, I think this is actually a bigger barometer game for the Cowboys than it is the Saints, just because – we know inherently that the Saints aren't what we assume they would be since they don't have Drew Brees for this game. And yet Dallas has played the Giants, uh-huh, Washington, and the Dolphins. So what are they? Do I think they're a good football team? I sure do. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that they're going to come out and just get their doors blown off here in the Superdome on Sunday night. But it is their first major test. It's an environment we saw them play last year. They were able to kind of take advantage of their home field advantage. This time they're going to be playing in the dome. You know the Hoodats are going to be all kind of fired up, especially coming off of that really good win in Seattle last weekend. And so I feel like it's a toss-up game, even if Drew was there, and I still think it's a toss-up game. But yeah. I think this is more of a barometer for the Cowboys than maybe the Saints.
I'm with you. Boy, that was an impressive win on the road in Seattle. Bridgewater didn't make any mistakes. Alvin Kamara was sensational. Thomas Morstead was almost as sensational. And the defense showed they could stop the run. I mean, that's how you win on the road.
Yeah, and you create takeaways. You get special team scores. And it's kind of the formula that when Teddy was last time, he was a starting quarterback, in the 2015 season, of course, the Vikings made the playoffs that year. I mean, that's the formula. Teddy wasn't exactly asked to win the games. Just don't lose them, and the pieces around you can help carry you along the way. And that's what the Saints are still going to be banking on. Now, do I feel like, say, Teddy could come out and maybe feel a little bit more comfortable within the offense, maybe take a shot or two, which we did not see against Seattle? I think that could be possible. Uh-huh. To even maybe see a little bit more Taysom Hill sprinkled in, possibly. Obviously, you want to change up the game plan each week, so I think you could keep Dallas on their toes if you do that. But, yeah, I think you saw the roadmap to winning games without Drew Brees, and we saw it last week. And so the Saints certainly have got to continue that trend, really against Dallas, because maybe you can get away with a mistake or two with some of the teams that you're playing in the second quarter of this season.
I'm with you. Larry Holder of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. I remember a year ago, Dallas just kind of bully-balled the Saints with Drew Brees. The Saints were just cruising along until that game, and Dallas roughed them up. I think it was 13-10. Similar type of game plan this time?
Yeah, I think it could be a low-scoring game like that. And it's funny, in that game, even though the score was 13-10 and the game was the margin of a lead that Dallas had was never huge, but it just felt like that the Cowboys were able to take the Saints off their game. for the first time in 10, 11 games, because, you know, they're riding that long win streak at that point. And so I'm curious to see if they can maintain that. Look, they were able to handle Alvin Kamara last year. I think he had 19 total touches. It was 71 yards of offense. And his longest play overall was 8 yards. And so they were able to slow him down. Byron Jones is a corner you're going to have to watch. Pro Bowler last year with the Cowboys. He was able to, when he defended Mike Thomas, he held him to no receptions. And so they've got to figure out if Dallas is kind of leaning toward those two guys, you need some other players to step up. Ted Ginn didn't play in last year's game. He's probably someone I would watch. People are wondering what's up with Jared Cook. He needs to step up and help kind of do this. And also, the Saints defensively, they have got to be able to slow down the run game with Zeke Elliott and kind of hold off Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. So a lot to ask. But, you know, this is a matchup of two of the better teams in the NFC, and that's what happens when you run into these games.
You know, Bill Belichick's formula is he takes away something that you do well. He just takes you out of it. So if you were game planning for the Cowboys, who concerns you more, Zeke Elliott or Amari Cooper?
I'd probably say Amari Cooper because if I'm the Saints, I feel like I am confident in in the front seven that's there. I think Malcolm Brown has helped them be a good run defense team. You've seen some upticks of positivity from players like Trey Hendrickson and then Marcus Davenport. Cam Jordan is still Cam Jordan.
Yep.
DeMario Davis has been playing lights out. So you just hope the secondary can hold up in times. And a lot of people have been kind of picking on either on the field or off the field, picking on Marshawn Lattimore. And it seems like that teams aren't as afraid to throw at him. And so I'm assuming he's going to follow Amari Cooper. And that's a matchup we've certainly got to watch because Dak is going to test Lattimore because he's not going to want to stay away from his primary target, Amari Cooper.
I'm with you, Larry Holder of The Athletic. You did a great story on on Joe Burrow, who has come from, I guess, out of left field to a Heisman Trophy contender to a possible high draft pick to possibly being someone that Sean Payton, the Saints, would be interested in. He kind of fits that system. Because of Joe Brady, he is running the Saints system now, right?
Yeah, and it feels like I'm just going like super hot take land, like let's do the lazy, convenient, get people hyped up column, and that's not the case. I mean, the Joe Brady system, I mean, he's admitted that he brought everything as far as passing, schematics, philosophy from the Saints. And Joe Burrow, he's only an 80% passer. If you look at his stats in an NFL passer rating, his NFL passer rating is 150. I mean, that's insane. And so he's a tough kid. We all know that.
Wow.
He's sharp, and he's getting it done. And so I think that's someone, if he keeps playing, he might not even be in reach for the Saints. But to me, if it was a perfect world.
That's right.
And who would fit better, say Tua or Fromm or Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow? I would have to say that, man, Joe Burrow fits the mold the best because he can walk in and know what's going on immediately. It wouldn't be this totally shock system, shock to the heart kind of thing for him.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Larry Holder of The Athletic. I give you the option. You can only take one of these people on your staff. Who do you want? You're going to take Joe Brady? Or are you going to take Dave Aranda?
I am going to take Dave Aranda. I know Joe Brady is a hot name right now, and he's doing a great job. Dave Aranda's gotten it done for a long time. If I'm only going to take one, I'll take Dave Aranda. But that might not be the popular answer these days, just because Joe Brady, you know, he's the new toy in town, but I'm gonna stick with old reliable and go with Aranda.
Is Randa earning his $2 million, you think?
I don't think it's his fault that the defense is being a little bit leaky. They have a ton of injuries. I mean, you can buy that excuse or not. That's just fact. But I do think they need to, you have Rashard Lawrence and Braden Fajoco and those guys. I mean, once they go, you're going to have to beef that up. And Chase Saw might be a draft guy. Certainly could leave early if he wanted to as a redshirt sophomore. He would be eligible to go. But I do think, though, that their pass rush, I fear that they can't get it done without a blitz. And that could be problematic. And so I'm curious to see how Dave Aranda can kind of get those pieces working. And if you've got to call blitzes, call them at the right times and this, that, and the other. So, I'm not putting it on totally on him, but I mean he's paid to fix it, so obviously there's some things that need to be fixed.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see in a couple of weeks. All right, Larry Holder of the Athletic, Saints, Cowboys. How do you think this thing turns out?
I'm gonna go with the Cowboys. I know that's not what people want to hear, but I think the Cowboys can win like a 20-14 game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. But then you've given yourself a buffer if this gotcha. Were to go the way I'm predicting it to go, because you beat Seattle. And then the rest of the schedule really plays out pretty well for you, but with winnable games, even with Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback. So do I think the Saints can win this game? Yes. Do I expect them to win? No, I do not expect them to win, though.
He is Larry Holder of The Athletic. Enjoy your kind of a relaxing weekend. It'll be a late Sunday, but that's okay, man. Enjoy it. We always look forward to talking to you, buddy. Take care of yourself. Take care of that family.
All right, Jordy. Talk to you next week, buddy.
Hi, buddy. You're the best. That's Larry Holder, and that brought to you by Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana, America's premium quality heavy-duty truck manufacturer since the company was founded back in 1939. They've maintained that position as the class of the industry by concentrating on delivering high-performance, low-maintenance, and extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs, driver productivity, and high resale value. It's the dream of every trucker to own a Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana, in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. We'll be back with the Dallas Cowboy perspective of things next. All right, welcome back on this Friday as we get ready for the big game, I think, of the NFL Week 4. That is the Saints hosting the Cowboys. We heard from Larry Holder about the Saints. Let's go. Everybody calls it behind enemy. I don't care about that. Let's just go to Dallas, where we're joined by David Hellman, our good friend of the program, writer for DallasCowboys.com. He's a New Orleanian by birth. He's an LSU graduate by choice, and he's an Emmy Award winner because he's really, really good. David, long time, man. How you doing?
Hey, Jordy. Yeah, it has been a while. What's going on, man?
I don't know. So there's a ball game in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. LSU's got the weekend off, and they're on a roll, so everybody's focus is on this one. Cowboys healthy going into this ball game?
About as healthy as I guess you could expect a month into the season. A couple guys missing, but the big trio everybody's talking about, Amari Cooper's got an ankle, Zach Martin missed a day of practice, and Xavier Woods, the starting safety, who's actually from Monroe, they're all going to go. You know, they had some injuries this week, but they should all be available. So not 100% at full strength, but about as close as you could expect. All the big names should be there.
Cowboys impressed by what the Saints did up in Seattle?
I don't know how you couldn't be. You know, for Teddy Bridgewater to make his first start in 3 years, and for Alvin Kamara to do what he did, I mean, he put that offense on his back against, you know, a good Seattle defense. I mean, Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright, Jadeveon Clowney. They got some talent up there, and Kamara made them look pretty silly, to be brutally honest. I think, you know, anytime you lose your starting quarterback, you want to see how the team's going to respond, and that was a heck of a response. If the Saints can do that in Seattle, I can only imagine they'll look better in the Superdome. So I don't think anybody in Dallas is taking them lightly.
David, am I crazy? But the guy that scares me the most is Amari Cooper. I think this. I know everybody said you got to stop the run in Ezekiel Elliott, and he's a hell of a player. But that Cooper guy scares the heck out of me. If I'm the Saints, I'm certainly paying attention and doing whatever I can to kind of contain him, more so than I'm worried about Elliott. Am I nuts?
I don't know if you're nuts, but that's part of why the Cowboys have been so successful on offense so far this year, is you kind of have to pick your poison. I mean, teams load up to stop the run, and Amari Cooper has made them pay for that. You know, he had a 100-yard day against the Giants. He had a touchdown against the Redskins, and had a really nice day against Miami with 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's the first time in his career he's had a touchdown in 3 straight games. So he's really hitting his stride. His chemistry with Dak Prescott is off the charts. Like I said, I mean, you know, teams tend to load up against the run when they play the Cowboys, but Cooper has proven since he got here that he can make you pay for that. I think the Saints are 26th in the league against the pass right now. So, whether it's, you know, whether Lattimore travels with him or whether the Cowboys try to target Eli Apple, I think that's going to be a challenge for them for sure.
I'm with you, David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. How excited is Dak Prescott? The last time he played in the state of Louisiana, he was quarterback in Mississippi State, and he went into Tiger Stadium and put a beat down on LSU. Have you had a chance to talk to him about what this coming back home kind of means to him?
Yeah, you know, I think there was probably a little more juice for that LSU game because, you know, an in-state guy who wasn't recruited very heavily by LSU, you know, I think he wanted to prove a point there. I think this is a little bit more business, you know, but I think it is important to him. Actually, you know, back and look this up. Dak's never played in the Superdome. His senior year, he took Houghton to an undefeated record. They wound up losing in the quarterfinals to Franklinton, who actually went on to win state that year. So that was really his only chance to play in the Dome. So I think, you know, Dak tries to downplay it, but I think this is going to be fun for him. Because, you know, I mean, if you played high school football in Louisiana, the Superdome's a sacred place. So I think it would be big for him to go and have a big game in this stadium for sure.
I'm with you. David Hellman, kind enough to join us, DallasCowboys.com. NOLA native and LSU grad. So what's this mean for you coming back home, big guy?
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I hate this week. I hate when the Cowboys play the Saints because, you know, lifelong New Orleanian. Everybody back at home thinks I'm a traitor because I work for the Dallas Cowboys. And everybody here in Dallas thinks I'm a traitor because I was a Saints fan my whole life. So nobody really likes me this week because everybody thinks I'm working for the other side. So, you know, I hope it's a good game. It always is. I mean, you know, it was a great game last year. It was a great game in 2015 when the Saints won in overtime. I hope it's a lot of fun, and then I'll be happy when we can move on and these two aren't playing each other anymore.
I understand completely. Cowboys defense really, I call it, they bullied the Saints a year ago. They were really, really, really good. Are they as good this year, or is it too early to tell?
I would say TBD, a little too early to tell, because that game, that was kind of their coming out party. You know, nobody has ever shut down Drew Brees the way the Cowboys did in that game. They held him to 10 points. They picked him off with the game on the line. They kind of announced themselves as this top-tier defense, and that kind of raised the bar as far as expectations go. I mean, you know, when you prove that you could do that against Drew Brees, people expect you to do it every week. They haven't been bad this season by any stretch. They're only giving up 14 points a game, but they haven't been dominant. You know, like they're not getting a ton of sacks. They don't have an interception yet for 3 weeks, which is just not great.
So they haven't reached that point yet. I don't think that means they're bad, but this is easily going to be their biggest test. You know, if they play well against Camaro and Mike Thomas and those guys, I think it'll say a lot.
All right, Larry Holder, our good friend from The Athletic, picked the Cowboys to win this thing, something like 24-21, something like that. He thinks it's a low-scoring game. All right, so we're going to ask David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com, what's the outcome in your mind?
You know, I think it's going to be a tight one. It usually is when these teams play. You know, ironically, I always say, you know, when everything else is equal, lean toward the better quarterback. Well, everything else was equal last year, and Dak Prescott wound up largely because of that defense. So, I mean, you never know for sure. I think, you know, Sean Payton's going to have a hell of a game plan ready, but I think the Cowboys have a few too many weapons on offense, and I do think their defense is better than it's looked through 3 weeks. Okay. I think they can hold Bridgewater to field goals instead of touchdowns, and I think the outcome is going to be in doubt late, but I think the Cowboys get out of there with like a 27-23 win.
Get out of town, David Hellman. Good talking to you. We'll see you another time. We'll take a quick timeout back after this. Welcome back. Time for the Terrific Trio, brought to you by Cajun Chef and also ShopRite Tobacco Plus. We've got 60 of them in Southern and Central Louisiana. We've got spacious stores filled with Louisiana products. We've got modern restrooms that are clean and comfortable. And we've got delicious food that's always fresh and always fast at ShopRite. We're dedicated to our mission. It's simple. We love serving our community and seeing customers leave with a smile on their faces. Whether your needs are fresh food, fuel, top-shelf wines or spirits, or just a quick pit stop, we at ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Services look forward to serving you. All right. You know the guilty parties. George Becknell, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Jordan, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, except I blew it last week, and I'm glad I did on the Raging Cajuns against Ohio U. You were accurate. So was CD, so I will take my punishment. I'll go in the corner and stand against the wall with my nose up against it in shame. But away we go again this weekend. I'm going to let everybody kind of go carte blanche on this one. CD, we'll give you the honors. Give us one of the headlines that we're going to be reading about on Monday that we're going to give you today on Friday.
On Monday, Jordy, we're going to be talking about Statesboro Blues, but it's coming from over there in Georgia. Their newspaper is going to read Statesboro Blues with the Cajuns of Vermilion and White taking care of business, shutting down that triple option, having another emphatic road win to start off on to continue their best season opening record since 2012, Jordy. They'll be 4-1 to start off the year, heading into a crucial bye week before the big one against App State. And we got to kind of talk about that a little bit down the line. But again, Statesboro Blues is what the headline's going to read in Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, you understand where he's coming from with that, George, because their colors are blue and white. So therefore, the alliteration of Statesboro Blues. So, all right, George, your turn. What you got?
No breeze, no problem, Jordy. You know, in a good defensive battle, the New Orleans Saints edge out the Dallas Cowboys 17-14 in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Teddy Bridgewater throws for a touchdown. Alvin Kamara is the star of the show with about 150 yards, total yards, and two touchdowns, one receiving, one on the ground. The Saints move to 3-1 without their Hall of Fame quarterback.
All right. Man. All right, Saints play the Cowboys on Sunday night. See, I'm more worried about Amari Cooper than I am Zeke Elliott. I believe in the Saints' ability to stop the run. They haven't given up a running back allowed 100 yards on the ground by an individual running back since 2017. So I think they can control that. So can Marshawn Lattimore and company slow down Amari Cooper with that play-action passing from Dak Prescott? So I'm going to say that the headlines in the Big Easy will read, Lutz does it again. I think it's going to take a late game field goal. I think this is going to be another one of those low-scoring, nail-biting, physical type of games. But Will Lutz, late in the ball game, kicks it through and true, and the Saints get the win. Lutz does it again. That will be my headline Monday morning throughout the state of Louisiana and around the proverbial world. All right, CD, let's come up with another one.
All right, we'll stick with this New Orleans Saints theme. How can we not? And mine is, simply put, thumbs up. After the game, we wind up seeing, after Teddy Bridgewater puts together a phenomenal performance against the Cowboys' vaunted defense, Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater, there's a photo of the two, and Drew Brees just flashing him as much of a thumbs up as he can give him in whatever kind of splint he has on. And you see Teddy Bridgewater give him the thumbs up as well with a celebration after the Saints start off their season 3-1.
We're all pulling for the Saints. That would be remarkable to get two straight wins against, you know, Seattle may not be a team to reckon with later on, but when they're at home, they are very difficult. And the Cowboys, again, they haven't played anybody yet. This will be their biggest test by far. So, gosh, I hope you're right. All right, George, headline number two from you.
Miles traveled. The Kansas Jayhawks go into TCU and get a big W. Coach Les Miles is riding the momentum of a couple of big wins in the Big 12, and he's able to open up the offense a little bit, and they throw for more than 200 yards this week.
You are on the Miles bandwagon, man. What is up with you and Les Miles? You think you're going to appear in a movie with him or something? What's that all about?
I'd like a cameo in the mouth to go on a, you know, ESPN special, man. If Coach is here, man, bring me on that, Coach. I'm still with some LSU gear, but, you know, I'll be on that.
I meant to ask you, tell everybody about Nashville. Did LSU overtake the stadium like it looked like?
Hey, Jordan, you know what? So I was sitting on the side with the Vanderbilt press box. So the side that was across from me was all purple and gold. So I'm like, okay, the side I'm on has, you know, has some black shirts in it. So the more I look, I'm like, wait a minute. Even the black shirts that's sitting by me say LSU on it. So we clearly took over the stadium. It was a sea of purple and gold. It was beautiful, you know. Funny story. We were sitting by a couple of Vanderbilt fans. And the guy was he was kind of angry. He was like, oh, this team is not beating Florida. This team is not beating Georgia or Alabama ever. I said, well, you know, Georgia came to Tiger Stadium and got their butts booked pretty bad last year. I don't know what you mean, brother. Well, you're not beating them this year. I said, well, I don't know about that, but we look pretty good today, don't we? You know, so, but Jordan, I had a good time. The LSU fans were amazing. They traveled well. It did seem like a home game. And I'm going to tell you this, Jody. Everybody's talking about Joe Burrow, and he should be. He should be in the Heisman Trophy race. But see that Jamar Chase? Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase is something special, Jody. He might be the best receiver to wear purple and gold since Josh Reed. I'm telling you.
I hear you. All right, very good. Okay, my headline is going to read like this, and this is purely of a selfish nature. The Redbirds win the Central over the Milwaukee Brewers. My St. Louis Cardinals are going to win it. They are going to get into the playoffs. No wild card berth for them. They are going to win the title outright. They currently hold a one-game lead over Milwaukee. But my Redbirds are going to win the National League Central and go into the playoffs red hot. Please, I hope. That would be great. That would be superb. All right, CD, give me another one, buddy.
We're going to stick with the MLB, Jordy. And the headline will simply read in Houston, we have liftoff. We're getting ready for the postseason, Jordy. And I feel like maybe on Saturday they'll secure the bag and win outright that number one overall seed in the AL and therefore have the best record in baseball and, more importantly, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And all of Houston is ready for liftoff as the postseason run begins, and they're going to be heading to the World Series, it feels like.
Here it is. Houston with 104 wins as of right here, right now. The Dodgers in the National League have 103. The Yankees with 102. So right now, Astros with the most wins. And onward we press. All right, George. Very well done, CD. George, give me another one.
I'm going to go with, we still haven't forgotten. And follow me on this one. The Cleveland Browns head into Baltimore, the city that took their franchise before they were rewarded to another franchise. They finally get it together.
Uh-huh.
The Cleveland Browns have been, you know, the most overrated, overhyped team in my recent memory, but they finally start firing on all cylinders. Baker Mayfield goes off. He throws for two touchdowns to Odell, two more to Jarvis Landry. Chubb gets one. And they go in and upset this red-hot Baltimore Ravens team with this very, very good defense in Baltimore for a little, 1995 revenge.
Art Modell, my goodness gracious. The Cleveland Browns. All right, we'll see. All right, I'm going to go off the beaten path on mine. Come Monday, which really will have to be Tuesday, but it's going to be something like this. The most media coverage of a Pelicans media day ever in the history of the franchise. Media day is Monday for the Pelicans. They'll start practicing on Tuesday. They'll have more media, more national attention. The Zion factor is legit. It's for real. Everybody wants to grab a piece of it. David Griffin's doing all the right things. Won't bow down is the slogan. Everybody's buying into it. I want to get one of the hats, hashtag WBD. I'm looking for one. And I think they will have more media coverage than ever before. They're on national television more than they've ever been since the franchise moved from Charlotte and became the New Orleans Hornets, now the New Orleans Pelicans. Basketball season is right around the corner, and the Pelicans' fervor, they've sold well over 12,000 season tickets, another first. It's going to be crazy, and I don't know if that little road, Dave Dixon Drive, can actually hold the overflow with all the Saints fans, Pelicans fans, and the parties that we hope we're going to be having in the days, weeks, and months ahead, because it's going to be some kind of special in that area of uptown, downtown New Orleans. So can't wait. Media coverage through the roof is my headline. CD, give me another one, buddy.
Another one, Jordy, we're going to stick with what's going on with those New Orleans Pelicans, and it's simply going to read New Era after what we heard on Monday's Media Day press conference involving David Griffin, the head coach Alvin Gentry, Zion Williamson, all standing there enjoying the haul that they've made off of the Anthony Davis trade and everything else they did in free agency, and they stand there proclaiming a new era of NBA basketball in New Orleans. And you have Miss Benson join in on the fun as well. And they all hold hands. And we see them all begin this new era of Pelicans basketball, maybe with a brand new logo as well.
All right. New era for the Pels. All right. CD, what you got?
Well, Jordy, my headline goes to in Foxborough is We Did It Again. And Bob, we did it again. The Patriots pull off a deal to acquire one Jalen Ramsey, right? Now, the Jaguars were reported to ask for two first-round picks. But some kind of way, the New England Patriots swoop in there and get Jalen Ramsey for a second and a fifth-round pick, conditional picks. Don't know how they do it, but they pull it off. Ramsey, after he has his kid, is going to be playing in Foxborough for the rest of the year.
He went from the flu to a back problem to a paternity problem, and now he's going to be going to the Patriots. We will see. If he does, he'll play for a year, and then he'll be gone, and the Patriots will win another title. Blah, 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 blah. Jeez Louise. That's a good game, though. Patriots, Bills, but the Patriots are going to roll with them. All right, my headline is this. Irked that he is regarded as the fourth best player in basketball, LeBron vows to lead the Lakers this season. The ranks have come out. Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, all listed ahead of LeBron James as the best players in the NBA. LeBron's ticked. LeBron's angry. LeBron's going full throttle. LeBron's going to have an MVP-type year. Anthony Davis is going to be in the perfect position in his secondary role rather than the starring role because LeBron is going off this year. Mark my word on that one. CeeDee, you got anything else for me?
Jordy, I got one more for you, and it's definitely well off the beaten path, and it involves the world of pro wrestling, because come Monday, we are going to be beginning a new era. I talked about with the Pelicans. It's a new era of pro wrestling, because all day, every day, Monday through Friday, heck, some on Saturday, you've got so much pro wrestling, you don't know what to do with it, with WWE, All Elite Wrestling, Impact Wrestling. It is a wonderful time to be a wrestling fan, maybe too much of it. We learn maybe too much of a good thing is too much.
Yeah, good luck with all that. You got to love it. You do. Good for you. I'm glad it's there all the time. I ain't watching it. Sorry, but that's just me. But I'm glad you can. That's great. Hey, different strokes, different folks. I love it. George, what you got? Last one.
Oh, man. Last one. Well, Jordan, I would love to go out on the limb and predict an Ole Miss upset in Tuscaloosa this week, but I don't think I could do it. Like, I really, really want to, but I can't do it, Jordan. I had too many bad ones in weeks past, so I'm going to go ahead and defer to you on this one. But my gut tells me I should have made that move.
All right, I'm going to go back to the Raging Cajuns. One team runs it all the time. Nobody runs it better than the Raging Cajuns. The headlines up there in Statesboro is going to read, in the quickest game in college football history, the Raging Cajuns run through Statesboro. And I just think that they've got the better quarterback. I think they've got the better system. Yes, the triple option is tricky, but Billy Napier's seen it before. I think he'll have his boys ready. I think they win their fourth in a row. I'm getting back on the bandwagon. I shouldn't gotten it off of it. So I think the Raging Cajuns win it. And then that sets up, like CD said earlier, they'll have next weekend off, but it's a Wednesday night affair with App State coming to town. So that ought to be a lot of fun. Can we pack Cajun Field for once? Seriously. I mean, if not now, when?
We damn well better, Jordy, with the fact that this is going to be a midweek game. You've got, like, we talked about it the other day, Jordy, I think like $5 White Claws. It's like you are pretty much going to be making money if you're the Cajuns after starting off the season 4-1. You should have the place packed in 2 weeks' time on October the 9th.
If they win this one and you don't pack the house, shame on them, and then there is no interest. There is no, and I'm not going to call it a football town anymore. If you can't pack the building after winning four in a row against a name opponent like App State, primetime, national television, if you can't show up for that one, then I'm just shutting it down. I'm shutting it down. But first, they got to win this weekend, and we're all in agreement. We think they will. All right, George, thank you very much. CD, thank you. Those are our Monday headlines on a Friday. We'll be back to wrap things up with the promise speech on this day in sports history after this on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. All right, wrapping things up on a Friday. Good luck to the Cajuns. Good luck to the Saints. Good luck to all the high school teams out there tonight. It's been a fun week, and I'm looking forward to the weekend. I really am. All right, daily history lesson. It was on this day, September 27th, the year 2008. Their undefeated season down the chute. The Florida Gators lose inexplicably to the Ole Miss Rebels, 31-30. And then came the promise from Tim Tebow.
I just want to say one thing to the fans and everybody in Gator Nation. I'm sorry. Extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal. Something Florida's never done here. But I promise you one thing. A lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season. And you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season. And you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of the season. God bless.
That promise has since been immortalized with a plaque on Florida's campus. It was on this day, September 27th, the year 2008. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share it with happy 72nd birthday to Meatloaf. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, is 54 years old today. Gwyneth Paltrow is 47. Avril Lavigne is 35. And my main man, Lil Wayne is 37. We used to sit next to each other at the Hornets games. How about that? CD, job well done. Thanks to everybody for listening, to our partners that make it possible. Have a great weekend. Come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.